Jesus is a miracle worker. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let's take a few minutes, first of all, to consider Jesus' marvelous power. We see him here in the Gospel of Mark, stilling the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He shows himself as having power over nature. Then we see him delivering a demoniac who had thousands of devils. He shows himself as having power over demons. And then we see Jesus healing a woman whom no physician could heal. That shows Jesus' power over sickness. And we see Jesus, my friend, raising up a 12-year-old girl, and that shows Jesus' power over death. So Jesus has power over nature, over the devils, and over sickness and over death. Now let's consider today the healing of the woman who had an issue of blood that is a hemorrhage. And that means that this woman suffered continuously. The story in Mark chapter 5 begins with verse 25. It says, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Now, the flow of blood here is also described in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. It says there, "And if a woman has an issue, and the issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lies on in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean." These bleedings that this woman in Mark 5 had most likely the kind we see described in Leviticus. During the period of 7 days from the time the blood flows, the woman is declared unclean, even though often the blood stops flowing within 4 or 5 days. But God makes it 7 days for safety's sake. During this period of 7 days, anything she would touch would be called unclean, the bed, the chair, and the people. At the end of these 7 days, the woman is to cleanse herself and to wash her clothing and to be restored. On the 8th day, she was to sanctify herself unto the Lord. Now, in this case, however, to the best of our knowledge, this woman's 7th day had come to be 12 years. There are, no doubt, some of you whose 7th day has not yet come either. And because of that, you've suffered many things at the hand of physicians. I think it can be said of all unbelievers in the world and of most Christians in our churches that we read here in verse 26 that she had spent all that she had in order to get better and was nothing better for it, but rather she grew worse. I go back again to my first encounter with God when God spoke to me as a 13-year-old boy. There are volumes of what God said to me in those two sentences. He said, "I love you, I love you, I'm love." And then he said, "And all the suffering and destruction you see about you is not because of me, but because of man's inhumanity to man." Now, man causes suffering and man disappoints. This woman was disappointed by all the doctors that ever worked on her. None was able to cure her. Each one had to be paid, and she was out of money. Physicians ought to give us hope, and they ought to heal us. That's their singular job. That's what they are trained for. That's what we pay them for. If they take our money and don't deliver, we'll feel somehow let down. Of course, to be realistic, you have to know that physicians are not able to do what God can do. God can heal any disease. Physicians can't. They only can cooperate with God to bring about some improvement in our health. And yes, of course, they need to be paid for the effort they put in to heal us. But oh, how much there is in this phrase. She had suffered many things at the hands of the physicians. It says many things, my friend. She went to this doctor and he had a prescription, and she went to another one and he had an ointment, and so on and on for 12 years, and nothing worked. Her ailment was so bad that when she was done with all the doctors, she was worse off than at the very beginning, at the onset of the disease. She found her life most miserable, bleeding for 12 years, and when that happens to you, You are weak, very weak. Now consider not only the physical suffering, consider the financial suffering of this woman. She could have been a woman of considerable means before the onset of her sickness. One would assume she was a very wealthy woman. She knew the comforts of life because she couldn't have gone from physician to physician for 12 years without having been wealthy. Her disease brought her, however, to poverty after those 12 years. Perhaps when she came to her last dollar she could spend on a doctor, then, my friends, Jesus just happened to pass by. She suffered physically. She suffered financially. Thirdly, she suffered spiritually. She had not been in church for 12 years. She had not heard the word of God for 12 years preached in a synagogue because she was ceremonially unclean, as I read to you from the book of Leviticus. Don't you see, she was not allowed to touch anybody, and if she would sit down someplace on a bench or another place or sleep in a bed, that bench or that bed became unclean because she was ceremonially unclean, even as if she were a leper. It was against the law for her to touch anyone, her husband, her brothers, her sisters, her children, her grandchildren. The law stood between her and her salvation. The law stood between David and his salvation when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Did not the law also stand between the woman who was caught in the act of adultery by the Pharisees? Did not that law also stand between her and God? There never will be an end of people saying, there's a law here. We need to apply the law. We can't do this. We ought not to do this. Now the Bible tells us that the law is good, though, and we need the law. The law is good because it reflects the righteousness of God. Without law, we wouldn't know the righteousness of God or the holiness of God. The righteousness and the holiness of God is God's desire for us. It is the standard. It is God's standard. So it must be preached. So it is with civil laws, of course. If the people in our country would not have laws, know the laws, abide by the laws, we would have anarchy and the disintegration of our society. The law is good. But the law separates us from God. No one can come to God on the basis of law. No one. For it says we all have sinned. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. No man is justified by the works of the law. So God is good. The law is good. But then what is bad? Not God. Not the law. Paul says the law is holy and just and right. What is bad is us. We are sinners. We are born sinners. We cannot come nigh unto God as sinners unless God says through Jesus, I will forgive you. I've died for your sins. I've paid for the penalty of your sins. And I will take of my righteousness and impute it unto you. As from the book of Romans. What does it mean to impute? It means I put it to your credit. Without the shedding of blood, without your receiving Jesus Christ's sacrifice, you have no credit with God. But if you receive the sacrifice of Jesus by faith, you become accredited. Hallelujah. It's like you come from a little Christian college way out there in the Rocky Mountains someplace, and you apply to a big state university, and you get a letter back from the registrar of that big university, and the letter says you cannot come to this big state college because your college is not accredited with us. We will not give you any credit for what you have studied when you come to our university, so you might as well stay home. But you are desperate, and you worked so hard to get good grades at your little college, and so you write a letter to the dean of students of this big university. You ask for mercy. You ask for a chance to prove yourself. The dean is moved, is touched. And the dean calls the president of the college, and the dean of the college says, President, we've got a boy here. He lives somewhere out there in the Rockies, in a little place. He's gone to a little college there. I know all our admission standards. They all say, no, 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 he can't come here. But you are the president. You are greater than all the standards. You're the one that set the standards. You're the one who can change the standards as you please. and you can say yes to this fellow out there in the Rockies. And the dean of students reads the letter of this boy, this country boy, this mountain boy, to the president, and the president is touched. And he says, yes, yes, let him come. And the dean writes a letter back to this student in his little village in the Rocky Mountains, and the student gets it, and the letter says, you have been accredited. You can come to our university. Oh, now you see, the student is a sinner. The dean is Jesus. The president is God. The law stood between this woman. The law stood between David and God, between Martin Luther and God. But all these people had a picture of a God who was law on one side and mercy on the other side. They could not appeal to the law side. So in their desperation, they appealed to the mercy side of God. It is the mercy side of God that sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins. So here comes this woman, my friend, and she is able to come and touch Jesus. She had not touched anybody for 12 years, and now she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, the very bottom of his garment, as I sneak my arm and press my arm through the throng at the master, I shall be healed. Oh, it was against the law for her to touch Jesus. She was unclean. Now, my friend, let me ask you this. How much did she know about Jesus? How long did she wait after she first heard of Jesus? Not an hour, not a minute. Verse 27 says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Oh, how much do you have to know about Jesus to come to him? Oh, you don't have to know much about Jesus to come to him, my friend. The only thing you need to know is that you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself, and that only Jesus can save you, and he can save you. He will save you as you come to him in penitence. Yes, the law says don't touch him. Don't touch anybody. People were thronging about Jesus. Jesus was being jostled about by the multitude, and now this woman breaks through the barrier of the law. Despite what the law says, she pushes and she shoves and she pushes her way through the multitude, closer and closer. All this multitude was body against body. And finally, my friend, she touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. She got herself into the touching business, didn't she? The unclean touching the clean. And the moment it happened, her illness of 12 years was gone. And when she touched Jesus, the marvelous thing is that she, although touching him as being unclean, did not make him unclean, but rather he who was clean made her clean also. What a wonderful thing about this salvation. Oh, my friend, your sin can never make Jesus unclean, but he, the clean, will make you clean. That's what Calvary is all about. So, hundreds of people touched Jesus on that day. Yea, he was jostled about by the people, but only one person in this crowd drew virtue from him and was healed. Most of you perhaps go to church every Sunday, quote, to touch Jesus, unquote, but you never have drawn any virtue from Jesus. You've never been transformed. You've never been healed. You've never been saved or sanctified. Your attitude has never been cleansed because you have not come to him with that brokenness, with that humility, with that faith, with that earnestness that this woman came to Jesus with. Well, you today, my friend, come to Jesus with your ailment, with your troubles, with your sins, and even as this woman did, and you also shall be made whole. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Please tune in again next week at the same time on the same station, and goodbye until then.